Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
I hope you have your workbook, your prayer journal with you. Today is day one, and so you'll begin using that book today. And there are some, it's pretty self-explanatory, but there are some places to take notes for today's sermon, in addition to what we have provided for you in the bulletin with the outline. Also, Wednesday night, there is a lesson there that we will use Wednesday night. So come and join us at 7 o'clock here in this room, or it will also be live streamed so you can watch from home, and you'll take notes in the journal for that lesson, and that'll be true each Wednesday night. And then, I think it's on page 22, if I remember right, I started mine this morning. You may have done that already, or you may do it later today, but there's a daily reading each day. And so day one begins today, a scripture to read, some questions that will help you meditate and think about that scripture, how it applies to you, and then give you the opportunity to word a prayer. So I hope that you'll be blessed as you participate in this 40 days of prayer. If you were to Google prayer, you would be a little overwhelmed by what you found. When I Googled prayer, there were 822 million different results about prayer. So you could watch literally millions of videos about prayer. You could read literally millions of books and articles about prayer. And that leads me to say there are a few observations I want to make about prayer. And then we're going to move to a few truths that we will know and learn about prayer. The first observation I want to make is this, that we are wired to pray. The fact that there are 822 million results on Google is an indication of that, but we just know that from the reality of our lives. We know that in every single age, in every single culture, in every single city and village, in every single language, in every single religion, we are wired to pray. People all over the world pray. Now, not all are praying to the one and true living God because they have been deceived or they have been taught something false. But everyone, because of the one true and living God, is wired to pray, to talk to this one who created us. And there is something in us that leads us to want to pray and communicate with God. And I think that something is what we find all the way back in Genesis chapter 1. And it is the truth and the reality that you and I and every single human being who has ever lived and whoever will live was created in the image of God. And He has breathed life into us. He has given us His Spirit and His image. And it is a connection with Him that He put in our souls, in our hearts, in our minds. And so from the very beginning, we can see the reason that we are wired to pray. And it's because the God who created us and the God who created us in His image created us probably for a lot of reasons. But one of the most important reasons that I can find in Scripture that God created us is simply this. God wanted a relationship with us. We were not an accident. You didn't grow out of a petri dish. The Lord God made you. Amen. And He made you because He wanted a relationship with you. Amen. So we're wired to pray. And we see Adam and we see Eve in the garden. And one of the most beautiful things that we see, and that song just reminded me of it, is that in the cool of the evening, God would come into the garden and they would walk and they would talk. God wanted a relationship with them. And that's what God wants with you. And that's what God wants with me. And that's what God wants with every single person that He has ever created. That we are wired to communicate with Him. And that's what we call prayer. But here's another observation. We're wired for prayer. But number two is we're really not very good at it. And here's why I say that. It's not my judgment on you. It's what I hear you say all the time. I've never met anyone in all my years of ministry who didn't at some point indicate their dissatisfaction with their prayer life. That they did not feel like they were very good at prayer. That they didn't know what to say, or they didn't know how to say it. That they were not very confident in talking with God. And so we're just not very good at it. At least we don't think that we're very good at it. There was a survey in a church that was doing this 40 days of prayer. And they asked the congregation to write down one word that best described their prayer life. Here's the words that were used: frustrated, inept, awkward, unsatisfied. And so what I share that with you, because I want you to know, if you feel that way about prayer, if you feel that way about your prayer life, you are not alone. You probably sit here on a Sunday morning and look around and think, all these other folks have got it together. Well, I'm going to give you a clue. They don't. And they have the same thoughts and feelings about prayer that you do. Everybody I've ever met feels like they could and should be better at prayer. And here's what I want you to know. Even the Apostle Paul felt that way about prayer. In Romans chapter 8, he said, we don't even know what we should pray for or how we should pray. So the man who wrote half of the New Testament also struggled with how to pray and what to pray for. Think about the 12 apostles. They spent 3 years with Jesus and they watched him. And in Luke chapter 11, they looked at him and they said, would you teach us how to pray? And I think that's really pretty amazing, because when you think about it, they watched Jesus do a lot of things. They watched Jesus do miracles. They watched Jesus heal people. They watched Jesus cast out demons. They watched Jesus teach, and they watched him preach, and they watched him tell powerful parables. And it's never recorded that they said, Jesus, would you teach us how to do that? But the thing they wanted to learn from Jesus after watching him is, would you teach us how to pray? They watched him pray in the morning and in the evening, and they watched him pray in private, and they watched him pray in public. And I think that they saw that there was a really strong connection between his prayer life and his ability to do all those other things. And so they were smart enough to say, of all this stuff that you're doing, I want you to teach me how to do that. Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And the reason we need to learn how to pray is also found in Genesis. Because God created things in such a way for us to have this relationship with him, where we could walk and we could talk with him. And that's what Adam and Eve did until sin. Until they gave in to the tempter. Until they invited sin into the world and into their lives. And it destroyed that relationship with God. It destroyed that connection with God. Their sin changed everything. And after that, they were ashamed. And when God came down to walk and talk, they were hiding. And we have sin in our lives that also make that connection so difficult to hold on to and to keep. And so although that we are wired to connect with God on a deeply intimate and personal basis, because of the sin in my life, that's hard to do. And so I need to learn how to pray, to learn how to talk to God. And here's the great news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world to repair the connection. He came into this world to reconcile the relationship. And so he is the one who can teach us how to pray and how to talk to the Father. My third observation is this. We're frustrated with prayer very often because we have misconceptions about prayer. We have a lot of misconceptions about prayer. Because of our sin, we have a lot of guilt when it comes to prayer. We feel guilty about the fact that we don't do it enough, or we don't do it well enough. But here's something that I read that I want to say to you, and I think you should just write this down. God, when it comes to our prayer life, God does not want us to be driven by guilt. When it comes to our prayer life, God does not want us to be driven by guilt. God wants to draw us by grace. God wants to draw you by grace into a relationship with him where he can walk and he can talk with you. And so over the next 40 days, I think we're all going to become aware of some misconceptions that we hold about prayer. And I hope that over these 40 days, God will wash those away and that we will learn and experience and practice these deep truths about prayer. And so for now, I just want to do four truths about prayer. There's so many, but we're going to do four right now. And number one is, God loves for me to talk to him. God loves for me to talk to him. God loves for me to talk to him about anything and everything. And that's something that some of you probably don't believe, but I hope you will as we practice this and journey in this for 40 days. God wants to talk to you about everything. It doesn't have to be spiritual things. It doesn't have to be religious things. God wants you to talk about yourself and your life to him. God wants you to talk about other people that you are around with him. He wants you to talk about whatever's going on in your life. Talk about your job. Talk about things that make you happy and things that make you sad. Things that bring you joy and things that bring you frustration. About things that you're struggling with or things you're trying to make a decision about. Here's how I know that God wants you to talk to him like that. It's because in Scripture, God is revealed to us, and Jesus does it most beautifully and more than any other person. Jesus does this. He teaches us that we can relate to God as our Father. That's how I know God wants to hear about your life, because he's our Father. Psalm 103 is just one of the places that says this. God is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who reverence him. God is your Father. God is your good Father. And God, as your good Father, loves to be with you and hear from you because you're son. You're his son and you're his daughter. And he's intimately interested in your life. See, I believe God created fathers and mothers, and God created families to show us this dynamic, to teach us that this is how he wants to relate to us. Because I love my sons and I love my grandson, and I loved them before they were born, and I loved them after they were babies, and I loved them all as they grew up. And in the beginning, they couldn't communicate with me, but I oohed and awed over every sound and gurgle and bubble that they made, and the little smiles that came on their face. And then as they learned to talk, I was convinced that they were saying, "Pawpaw." I think Hudson says "pawpaw" more than any other word. I'm convinced of that. Doesn't matter if it comes out "goo goo." I think it's "pawpaw." Because I want to communicate with these boys that I love. I want to hear about their life. I loved when they could start telling me things and things they were interested in and things they were excited about. I loved when they came home and told me about what was going on at school or a book that they had read or the movie that they had watched. I loved as they talked to me about deep things and things that mattered and questions that they had. I loved the time around the table that we had just to laugh and tell stories and create those inside jokes. And I loved all that. I still love when I get to talk to them, because I'm their father. And that's exactly how God says he relates to you. And I believe that as much as I love to hear from Brent and Jonathan, that God loves to hear from you. And Brent and Jonathan don't have to talk in high and holy terms when they talk to me. We're going to talk about that in a minute, so I shouldn't get there yet. See, that's why we can embrace 1 John chapter 5. It says, we can be confident approaching God, knowing that he listens. You can circle listens. Knowing that he listens to us whenever we ask him for anything according to his will. And since we know that he hears us, you can circle hears us, when we make our request, then we can be sure that he will answer us. See, you can have confidence in prayers, what the scripture says. You can approach God with confidence. Why? Because he's your father. And because since he's your father, you know that he listens and he hears. And so when you pray, you don't have to come with shame. You don't have to come with fear or embarrassment or hesitation or guilt. You can come with the confidence that a son or daughter comes to their father because he wants to hear from you. That's the first truth. God loves to hear me talk to him. Number two, the second truth is God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. You don't have to use flowery language when you talk to God. You don't have to use fancy phrases when you talk to God. He wants you just to talk to Him, to talk sincerely from your heart about what's on your mind. You do not have to use what you think are spiritual words or religious cliches. Guide, guard, and direct us. And you really have to be of a certain age to even get that one, because we just don't say that anymore. And I'm kind of glad, because these religious phrases that we pepper our prayers with. My favorite when I was growing up was for God to bless those who are sick of our congregation. Or how often at a table have you heard for God to bless this food to the nourishment of our bodies and our bodies to thy service? There's nothing wrong with that phrase, but I'm just telling you, you don't have to memorize these phrases to be able to talk to God. You don't have to use a different tone. When I was growing up, I cannot remember the man's name, but I have never forgot when it was his turn to pray, because he would stand up and he would say in a very deep bass voice that I don't have, "Our most gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy and great name." And then he would finish the prayer in his normal voice. Somewhere he had learned that. You don't have to use these and thous when you pray. If you want to, you can, because God understands Elizabethan English, but he also understands American English. And you can talk to him in your own tone and in your own voice and in your own language, thankfully, because people all over the world are doing it. And God is hearing them. You don't have to do any of that. And here's what I want to say, and I've tried to be a little bit funny about it, but I want to say something pretty serious about it. Not only do you not have to do those things, Jesus said, don't do those things. When he was talking about this in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, that's not what the Father wants to hear from you. Can you imagine if I talked to my friends that way? If I went over to Wendell's house and said, "Good morning, great friend of mine. Hallowed be you." Now, Wendell, he'd probably just come right back at it, but most of our friends would look at us like we were crazy. Or when we got down to the conversation, if I spoke in cliche phrases the entire time. Or here's another one, and again, I'm not trying to make fun, but I think it's important to point some of these things out. And if you do this, maybe this will be something you will grow in. And I think we do it because we're nervous. But what if I went to Wendell's house and I said his name over and over and over when I talked to him? And I said, "Wendell, thanks for having me over, Wendell. And just Wendell, the food's been really good, Wendell." And again, I think we do it because we're nervous, because we're uncomfortable. We don't have confidence in praying. And Jesus said, you don't have to talk like that. Just talk. I just want to hear from you. He said, don't babble. He said, don't use a lot of words. He said, don't use vain repetitions. He said, just tell your Father what you need. He just wants to hear from you in your own voice and in your own words. And I hope that's something we all will grow in over these next 40 days. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 is going to be a key verse for us as we grow in prayer. And it says, let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith. And again, those are, I want you to circle those: sincere heart, sure faith. Come honest, come authentic, come real, and come believing and confident. And really, that one verse speaks to a lot of your desires. On the things that you shared last week, so many of you shared a desire to pray that either said, I want to be more confident in my prayers, I want to really believe when I pray. And many of you also said, I want to just be more real, I want to just talk more. And so that can be a real good verse for you to hold on to, because that's what God's looking for. So the first truth is that God loves for me to talk to Him. The second truth is God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. The third one is God likes to show His grace by answering prayer. God loves to show his grace by answering prayer. Think about this. Every single thing that exists in the universe exists because of the grace and generosity of God. Because he shared of himself. Because he gave of himself. There is no one more generous than our God. And when we ask for something in prayer, it gives God the opportunity to show what he is really like. Because there are so many misconceptions about him out there. And when you ask, it gives him the opportunity to show you what he is really like. Over 20 times in the New Testament, we are commanded and encouraged to ask. Over and over and over, God, through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, tells us, ask. Ask. Ask and it'll be given to you. You don't have because you don't ask. The children of God are commanded and encouraged to ask because God loves to shower us with his grace. Now, in his grace, he doesn't always give us everything we want. And every good parent knows you can't give your child everything they want. It ruins them. It spoils them. And there are dozens of reasons for good parents to hear and listen and say no. Dozens of reasons for God to hear and listen and not say yes. And there's a whole sermon series here. Sometimes it can be for our protection. Sometimes it can be for our direction. Sometimes it can be for our correction. Sometimes it can be for our perfection. And sometimes it can be for our inspection. Like I said, we'll have to do a whole sermon series on that sometime. But God doesn't answer every prayer the way that we want him to answer, but he will answer. He says he will. And he will always answer for our good. And he will always show us his grace. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call to me, God is saying, call to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. See, I like that verse because it reminds me that God's bigger than I am and God has a bigger perspective than I do. And I have an idea of what I want and what I need, but I call to him and he can show me some things that I would never figure out on my own. And he can do that, and he can do it with grace because he is a good and perfect father. We keep going back to that relationship. And I don't know what kind of father you are. I don't know what kind of father you had, but I know what kind of father he is. And that reminds us that Jesus said, if we, being imperfect and sinful parents, still know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask. So he wants us to ask so that he can show his grace. And now the fourth truth. And I really think this is the most important of all, the biggest one of all, the one I hope that I get and you get over the next 40 days, because it'll change our lives. And that is this, that God longs to be close to me. God longs to be close to you. You could say in some sense that that's the entire story of the Bible. Is God longing to be close to those he created? The Bible shows us that he will go to any length to be close to you and to me. And that ultimately he went to the length of sending his son from heaven to earth and sacrificing him so that he could be close to you and me. And I think this is a great time for us to remember that by taking the bread and the cup. So if you want to reach in front of you, and this week I think you will be pleasantly surprised to experience a better taste and less noise. And while that's important to us on some level, it's not as important as the reality of what we're about to do. And that's, we're about to remember the incredible length that God went to because he wants to be close to you and to me. And Adam and Eve messed up the relationship. I have royally messed up the relationship. You've done your part to mess up the relationship. And that didn't stop God. And it didn't stop Jesus. And he did not cling or hold on to or grasp his place and his glory and his divinity. But because he wanted to be close to you, he emptied himself of all that. And he came to earth as a servant, obedient to his Father, even to death on a cross. And so as you go through these 40 days, this is going to be a really precious and important time for us to remember that all this that we're saying about prayer is true, because look what Jesus did. Look how much he wants to be close to you. And so I'm going to offer one prayer, and then we'll take the bread, take the cup, spend just a moment giving thanks to God that he wants to be close to us, and he showed it through Jesus. Would you pray? Father, thank you that you illustrated this incredible truth so graphically. That your Son, our Savior, Jesus, did what it took to reconcile us back to you, so that we can be close to you and so that we can walk and talk with you. And we want to grow in that. The scripture says that we draw near to you and you'll draw near to us. The reality is, in this as in everything, you have always taken the first step. You took the first step of drawing near to us when Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And because of his blood and his body, which we take now and remember, because of his blood and his body, we can draw near to you. And we do so in Jesus' name. Amen. You take that bread and drink that cup. Let that truth soak in that God longs to be close to you. He longs to be close to you. It gives him pleasure. It gives him great joy. He loves to be with you. And he loves when you want to be with him. Isaiah chapter 30 says, "The Lord waits for you." Just think about that for a minute. The Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and his compassion. That's worth writing on a card and putting up in on a visor or on a mirror or on a refrigerator or somewhere. The Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and his compassion. So every day that you go without talking to God, there's another day the Lord is waiting on you. And every day you go without spending any time in that day with God is another day that the Lord is waiting for you. And I want to share a personal story here. I hesitate to share it because it's about God. It's not about me. I think God will do all kinds of things to communicate to us his desire to be with us. But this is one way he did communicate that with me recently, a couple of weeks ago. And I had not slept well. I had been really late when I went to bed. And so when I finally went to sleep, I did not set an alarm because I knew I just wanted to sleep later that day. And lo and behold, that next morning I woke up and it was still dark outside. And my first thought was, no. And I rolled over, closed my eyes again. And in my spirit, and that's the only way I know to communicate this, in my spirit, I heard a voice say very firmly, "Get up." And again, I thought, no. And I roll over again and shut my eyes tighter. And again, I heard this voice in my spirit very firmly, but not mean, but very firmly, get up. And I realized at that point, I think this is the Lord telling me to get up. I thought about Samuel in the Old Testament. And I thought, well, I better get up. I don't know exactly what he has in mind, but if he's telling me to get up, I better get up. And so I did. I rolled out of bed and I got up. I went in and I turned my coffee on and I thought, well, the Lord wants me to be up for a reason. And I don't know what it is, but my first thought was I need to get the Bible out. And so I got my cup of coffee. I got my Bible. It had gotten light enough that I could go sit on the porch. And I opened my Bible and I think I opened to Jude. And so I read Jude and I was blessed by reading Jude, but there was no moment in it that I felt like, oh, this is why the Lord wanted me to get up. He wanted to say that to me. I didn't have that experience. And so I finished reading Jude and I just sat there for a few more minutes. And again, in my spirit, I just sensed the Lord say, I didn't have any reason to get you up, except I just love to spend time with you. That was a beautiful moment for me. Now, because I am a stupid mortal made of dirt, a couple of days after that, I had already moved on from that moment, and I was still not wanting to get up and still resisting doing my quiet time and resisting spending time with him, even after he had been so kind to me to give me that moment. But the good thing about our God is, he'll remind me again, and he'll remind you again, and it might not be in that way, it'll be in another way, and it'll be through his word that he wrote, it'll be through a song that you hear, it'll be through a conversation you have, it will be through a still, small whisper, but over and over and over, every day of every week, of every month, of every year, our Lord is whispering into us, I just want to be close to you. I really enjoy spending time with you. I made you and I like you. Jesus said it this way. It just blows me away that Jesus said this. Well, before I go to what Jesus said, let me go to what God said in Hosea. And I hope you can hear the passion in God's voice, because he's talking to church people. And he said, I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. And during these 40 days, as you draw near to God and he draws near to you and you grow in this prayer life with our Father, I just want you to know God's not wanting you to go through the motions at church. That's not what he's after. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. But God's not wanting you to go through the motions of church. God's not even wanting you to go through the motions of prayer. He just wants you to want to be with him. And he wants to be with you. And he wants to hear from you. And he wants to know you and to love you. And he wants you to know him and to love him. And then that leads me to what Jesus said that just blows me away in John chapter 15. And Jesus is saying it, remember to knuckleheads who had just spent 3 years with him. And they got it wrong and messed it up over and over and over. And yet, here toward the end, he looked at him and he said, you know what? I don't call you my servants. I call you my friends. God wants to be your friend. That blows me away, folks. That is hard for me to wrap my mind around. In fact, it honestly feels a little sacrilegious to even think about that God wants to be my friend. That the creator of the universe, the savior of the world, would look at me and say, would you be my friend? Because friendships are not about ritual, and friendships are not about religion. Friendships are about relationship. Friends spend time together and they listen to each other and they talk to each other and they walk with each other and they give each other advice and they stick up for each other, and a friend will tell you the truth. And God will be the best friend you've ever had. And the kind of prayer that we're going to grow in over the next 40 days is that kind of prayer and that kind of relationship. So I really encourage you this morning, don't pull away from this. Don't back away from this. I promise you, the devil does not want you to have this kind of relationship with God. And he's going to tempt you. He's going to distract you. He's going to try to deceive you. But don't listen to his voice. And don't pull away from this. Press into this over the next 40 days. Press into this relationship with God, this communication with God, because God longs to be close to you. Now, to try to end with something very practical, we've talked about these four truths. God wants to be close to us. He wants to hear from us. How do I make that happen? Two things. First of all, desire it. And second of all, make time for it. Any of you who have a friend, if you looked back and analyzed it, that's the reason your friendship works. You both desired it. You like each other and you like spending time with each other. And you make time for it. And so if you want that kind of relationship with God that he wants with you over the next 40 days, desire it. And I believe you already do. I know from those of you who shared last week your desires about prayer. I know you desire this. The fact that you're here, that you're online, there's some part of you that desires this. Well, that's the first thing. And the next one is to make time for it. And we're building that in over the next 40 days for you to make time to be with God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Would you stand? And I just want to offer a simple prayer. And then we're going to sing a song that just says to the Lord that we want to be where he is. So let's pray and then we'll sing. Father, I want the people here to know you better. And I want for them that they would love you as much as you love them. And that they would know, just to the depths of their soul, how very much you love them. And I want for them that they would just grow in their friendship with you. And that they would grow in talking to you and listening to you. And that you would do more than we can ask or imagine over the next 40 days. Amen.